In 2004, Rev. Lichtenstein spoke about the strange, peculiar deterioration of Yaakov's stature in Parashas Vayishlach. He spoke about it during the Sudash Lishit, and it's almost a split parsha, because the first part of Vayishlach details the final stage of Yaakov's ascent, having triumphed over Lavan, having returned to Eretz Yisrael as a rich family leader. He now triumphs both over Esav the rational, and presumably, at least according to Chazal, Esav's spiritual representative, an angel. And yet the end of the parsha is marked by constant decline, deterioration, the episode, of course, of Dinah being raped, of the children disobeying his wishes, ransacking Shechem, and of course Reuven's interference in Yaakov's marriage with Rachel. And these are harbingers for the larger deterioration which erupts in Sefer Vayeshev, the struggle between the brothers, the tensions, Yehuda's very strange, peculiar behavior, and almost as if Yaakov only regains his stature towards the end of the Sefer, when he delivers the brachos. Now it's clear that already in Vayishlach his leadership is being challenged, and in many ways his leadership is being challenged as a function, as a consequence of Reuven meddling in Yaakov's intimate aspects of marriage and his privacy, and that in some ways devalues Yaakov as the family leader. So this invasion of Yaakov's privacy, in some ways, devalues him as a leader. And I think it reminds us about, in general, and Rav Lichtenstein didn't really speak about this, but how respecting people's privacy gives them respect, and invading privacy robs people of their dignity, of the Tzelem Elokim. I think it's something to think about in general as we consider the role of privacy in general in human affairs, and in particular how halacha codes it. Those who have studied the first two prakim of Bava Basra, in particular the halachas of Hesed Gria, not peering on people's private affairs, in general not just optics but conversation and respecting the privacy, which I think Rav Lichtenstein was a very private person, and for many people, that's why he wasn't immediately effusive in the way that more charismatic people are, in part because he respected other people's privacy. And part of that respect was he wasn't going to either invade your privacy by forcing decisions upon you or disrespecting the complexity of your world. And I think reciprocally, he didn't open and share his world immediately in the way, or his personality in the way that others would. I think I would use the word reserved. So here you see an invasion of Yaakov's privacy. He spoke about, Rav Lichtenstein, why Yaakov didn't rebuke Reuven. Why was he so hesitant to exert that authority and reinforce his position as a family leader? So this is a Sifri. There was Lichtenstein quote, a very fascinating Sifri, that Yaakov was afraid that if he would rebuke Reuven too harshly, Reuven might defect to Esav. Yaakov is living in Parshas Vayishlach under the specter of Esav and Esav's personality and Esav's movement. And according to the Medrash, Yaakov conceals Dinah in a box. So he's afraid that if he pushes too hard with Reuven, and the Medrash doesn't talk about Shem and the Levi, but Rav Lichtenstein assumed there was the same calibration and delicacy that Yaakov exerted with Shem and Levi, and he would push them away. I think we have to be careful about that as well. We want to rebuke people, we want to correct them, we want to steer them, and sometimes we can push them away if we push too hard. But ultimately, Rav Lichtenstein wanted to know why did his leadership suffer? Why he didn't intervene and rebuke Reuven for his invasion? Why he didn't intervene? There were practical concerns that Yaakov was legitimately aware of, but why this almost wholesale deterioration in his leadership and in his state. And Rav Aaron, and this was the thesis of the Sicha, Rav Aaron felt that when a person is struggling with issues internally, and he feels insecure and there's no tranquility, there's a tension, and that tension, healthy tension, forces exertion of energies, struggle, awareness. Sometimes there's an anticlimax when a person feels that all their problems have been resolved. And there's a drop in tension, and there's a danger of euphoria. It's then that decline and tragedy can set in. And Rav Aaron noted that in the pasuk that describes Yaakov almost at his most triumphant state, after he overcomes Esav and he escapes Esav's threats, and he builds a city, he buys some land, and he builds Sukkot, and he builds a home near Shechem, and he builds resources for the city, Vayikhen, Eschalkas, Asada, Vayikhen, Espenei Ayers. He builds a Mizbeach. And he refers to either the Mizbeach, or according to one position in Chazal himself, as Kael Elokei Yisrael. Or if it's referring to a human being, then it's El Elohei Yisrael. And there's a sense of pride that is captured in referring to the Mizbeach that he builds as Kael Elokei Yisrael, or referring to himself in that way. And that complacency and sense of self-sufficiency and satisfaction dulls the tension that normally creates awareness and consciousness, and then invites the types of letdowns that we witness. So it's a very important concept in terms of our development, that tension is healthy and problems sometimes allow us to retain our sense of mission, our sense of drive, and trying to avoid complacency and the relaxation that comes from the relief and the release of tension. Rav Aaron spoke about the contrast between the tensions that exist when Yaakov is outside of Israel and the sense of relaxation that exists when he returns to Israel. I think that for many people, at least when raising children, I've seen that when living in Chutz Laaretz, there's an attentiveness because the fear of assimilation and the fear of fallout and even intermarriage and loss of Jewish identity is so acute that people are very attentive to their children's education and chinuch. And sometimes when people come to Israel, where everyone and everything is Jewish, and indeed it's true, but not everyone and every aspect or fiber of this fabric is religious, I think there's a natural letdown. And I think that this Yaakov factor, this Yaakov phenomena, is a very educational and important factor to remember. That sometimes the complacency is itself, in and of itself, the problem. According to one day in Chazal, Yaakov was punished with the Dina episode because of his pride and vanity in calling himself Kael, Elokei Yisrael. Rav Aaron said it's not really a punishment, it could be seen just as a consequence, because when you feel too confident, you're not sufficiently aware of the issues and you leave issues undealt with. Rav Lichtenstein spoke about this more particularly in the context of the Dati Lomi community, which we always talk to and talk about, that during the first couple of years, let's say before the Six-Day War, the nascent period when the national religious community was evolving, there was a sense of struggle, that we had to struggle to justify ourselves to the secular community, that we weren't serving full-time in the war, in the army, and we wanted to reserve time for Talmud Torah, that we had a legitimate contribution to render to society. And on the other hand, we had to prove to the Haredi world that even though we weren't learning Torah full-time, we were still striving towards religious excellence. Somehow the Six-Day War transformed the Dati Lomi community, and in the subsequent euphoria surrounding the settler movement, transformed the Dati Lomi community into celebrities, into a group and a sector that people really admired. I think this has dulled a bit in the past 10, 20 years since the assassination of Rabin by a national religious member, Yigal Amir, and certainly some of the tensions which flared surrounding Gaza. But I remember when I made Aliyah in 1993, and when people heard that I was associated with Hezder, they just felt such adulation and reverence almost for, oh, you belong to a Hezder yeshiva. When I told them I learned in Gush, I remember my first couple of weeks, had to meet a couple of people to buy a car to work in the office. It was just so amazing for me to feel the admiration. And of course, I don't know that we feel it anymore, but somehow Rav Lichtenstein felt that the success of the community had bred some of the complacency that could be very dangerous and lead to letdowns and deterioration. And to a degree, it's probably the first Rashi in Vayeshev that says it all, that Yaakov really wanted to and assumed that he could now retire peacefully and kafza l'rogzil shel Yosef, and the big storm erupts, the volcanic eruption of Yosef and his brothers. So Rav Aaron's thesis was the dangers of complacency are ultimately the factors that confuse or complexify Yaakov's otherwise tranquil ambitions.